So, to get our podcast off the ground, we had to do a deal with Joe Marler.
Which feels a bit dirty.
Back in January, Joe played his lovely listeners an episode of For the Love of Rugby. But now, it's time to return the favour.
Because we are men of our word.
And despite what some of you think, Joe is not actually a prick.
Not always, anyway.
So, what you're about to hear is one of the best podcasts you'll ever hear. It's not about rugby. Instead, it's Joe talking to people about things they do.
We'll let him explain more.
And if you like this, go and find more episodes of Joe Marler's Things People Do.
Enjoy. We're back tomorrow.
Lovely.
So you're on about a robot sweeping the chimney. So yeah. The robot would have to wake up in the morning, get in his van, drive to your house, get his rods out, walk to your appliance, sheet up.
Hi, I'm Joe Marler.
And I am Tom Fordyce.
And this is Things People Do.
Some people do amazing things. On this show, we meet zookeepers, politicians, astronauts.
And some people who do other things, like supermarket managers,
teachers,
railway workers.
Because everyone is interesting if you ask the right questions.
See, I used to hate people, but this podcast has changed me. And now I can't get enough of people. And the weird and wonderful things they do.
Are you a robot, Lydia?
Well, how would you know? I mean,
oh my God.
What do you think's the most stolen item in a hotel?
Toilet rolls.
Batteries out the remote.
We use a lot of Lego in emergency.
Lego?
Pardon?
On the show today.
I'm Josh and I'm a chimney sweep. This older man opened and then said, "You must be the chimney sweep." And I looked at my badge and said, "Correct."
I get the impression I'm being ganged up on here.
I think they found some sort of skeleton in Parliament. I'm in one of the old chimneys there.
They got fucking skeletons everywhere in that place.
Do you want to hear something else that's crazy?
Definitely. Do people still have chimneys, Tom?
So they do indeed. But I wonder what the strangest thing is that he's ever found up a chimney.
Oh, that's good. Let's ask him that one. Welcome to Things People Do. All right, Josh?
Very good, you?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Yeah, good. What a start, Tom.
Were you? Are you going a little bit West Country?
Yeah, I am.
You are, aren't you?
I feel right at home now, thank you very much.
So this time it's worked. So you're me. I might end up going a bit like that sometimes, but it's not out of offence. It's more out of trying to make it a little bit comfortable for you.
Brilliant.
What are you going to do?
I think I'm going to address the issue of stereotypes here, Joe, because when I found out we were having a chimney sweep on the show, I was expecting a man with still some chimney soot on his face, possibly in black. You are in black, Josh.
I am in black. Mm.
There's no other way of putting this. I thought chimney sweeps would always be very skinny, but you're a strong man.
Thank you very much. Two strong men at the table.
Oh, is that is it? I'm stronger than I look, Josh. I'm just not as big as you or Jack.
I believe.
There you are.
Yeah, chimney sweeps, you'd think they'd be small to fit at the chimneys, but nowadays we use brush and rods to actually clean the chimneys, but back in the day, it was children. Master sweeps of the day would often go to very poor families and orphanages and buy children from the age of four.
They'd buy them?
Yeah, buy them. Not very much money at the time. Don't ask me how much. I didn't know how much they went for back then. And they would actually climb the flues and sweep them with small hand brushes. But it was a very dirty, horrible job. Life expectancy of a child of the day wasn't very old at all. The master sweeps didn't treat them very well. Often just give them minimal food and water because obviously if they ate too much, they wouldn't actually fit.
I was going to make that as a joke. So when the owners were asked or were held to account, Joe, about not looking after the... Mm. What were they called? Junior sweeps?
They were actually named climbing boys. That was an official job title, was climbing boys. And they were often promised that if they went with the master sweep one day that they would become the master sweep, but they never sort of lived to see the day. So it was actually quite a sad story, really.
So they didn't used to get fed that much in case they didn't fit up it.
Exactly.
So do you feed them now?
So nowadays, I'm glad to say that rule was... in Parliament in, I think it was 1864, the Lord of Shaftesbury made it illegal to employ climbing boys and made it, you had to be over 16 to climb a chimney, and obviously no 16-year-olds would fit up a chimney. So they actually brought in brush and rods, but back in the day it would have been a bamboo shaft with a bristled brush head. But current day sweeping chimneys now have advanced so much more. We use nylon rods, which are very flexible. For log burners and liners, are exceptional to sweep with. But still to this day, we do sweep big old open chimneys and we use more rigid rods. Climbing buoys, yeah, they weren't fed very much at all because obviously they could get stuck. And in cases did get stuck and did die in chimneys.
What? People get stuck?
Yeah, when the climbing buoys would climb the chimney, they would get stuck. And sometimes, to make them get out, the actual master sweep would light a fire.
What?
Yeah, it's terrible.
As if they were deliberately stuck and a bit of heat on their arse would...
Oh, yeah, that'll fucking make them... Well, actually, probably did.
If you're stuck, you're stuck.
Although it's cruel, it's a fair point. You light the fire, they're fucking getting out, aren't they?
But no, not always. Because in chimneys, it's very... Obviously, they're in very tight positions, obviously, with one hand above them, one hand below them, and they would sort of shuffle up and down the chimneys. And in lots of houses, you've got offsets in chimneys, so they could actually be stuck at an angle. You know, they wouldn't be like sat, you know, in a nice position like we are. They'd be at awkward angles. And if the fire didn't get them out, the actual sweep would have to ask permission from the homeowner to actually knock a hole in their house to get the climbing boy out. And it was down to the owner or not. Some, you know, there has been skeletons found of climbing boys in chimneys. I believe, actually, I think they found some sort of skeleton in Parliament in one of the old chimneys there.
They got fucking skeletons everywhere in that place.
Exactly.
Imagine being the homeowner who, when confronted by the master sweeper, says, listen, bit of an issue. There's a 7-year-old kid stuck in your chimney. All right, he's now got a burnt arse because I've lit a fire on it. He's still stuck. Would you rather that I very briefly opened an aperture in your chimney, which I will then brick up again afterwards, or let him die, and you'll probably hear him screaming as he dies of starvation? Which of the two options would you like, landowner?
Well, there's a third option. You could just have a small aperture that I could just feed him through.
But you're going to feed him, he's going to get stuck for longer, isn't he?
Do you want to hear something else that's crazy?
Definitely.
Quite often they'd send up another climbing boy and they could have two children stuck in the chimney.
Who thought that as a solution?
This is like the old woman who swallowed a fly.
So we've established a few things already early on in this pod. And one of them is you don't look anything like an 89-year-old, white-haired...
Dick Van Dyke.
You were waiting for Dick Van Dyke, weren't you?
I was waiting for Dick Van Dyke. Chimney. Do you still get that as a chimney sweep? Do you get anyone just singing the song to you when you turn up?
You might know the story, but chimney sweeps are actually meant to be lucky and treated with the greatest respect.
Why are you meant to be lucky?
So legend has it, in 1700, King George II and his daughter were in their carriage and cart getting taken around the streets of London. One of the horses was frightened by something, and the horse and carriage completely went out of control and everybody was hiding. But out of the mist come a brave chimney sweep and grabbed the reins of the horses, brought them to a stop. And the king got out his carriage and wanted to thank the saviour, who was a chimney sweep. I believe tried paying him with money and jewellery of the time. And he was too humble and said, I'm just glad you're all right. I mean, I would have took the money and the jewellery.
I bet he regretted that when he got
it. But from that day forth, he deemed chimney sweeps to be good luck and should be treated with the greatest of respect. And actually invited him to his daughter's wedding, which was the next month, for a symbol of good luck. So quite often chimney sweeps include... he did go. So that's why chimney sweeps, they used to, not so much nowadays. I'm not having one at mine.
But you're there.
Yeah, but I am there, so that's good luck.
Not inviting any of your colleagues.
But my colleague Rory, he would take up too much space. He's about 6'8" and built like a fridge. But that's why chimney sweeps do attend weddings, because they're deemed good luck. And I actually get phone calls to attend weddings dressed as a Victorian chimney sweep.
Tell me, John, please tell me that you offer that as a service.
So if you don't,
you have to offer it.
I mean, the amount of calls that I get, I do think maybe I should, a bit more bread in the basket. But
you could, look, it's a double winner, because you go to a wedding, which is always good fun. You get fed and watered, and you get paid for dressing up as a Victorian chimney sweep.
Although you say you're a lucky charm, percentages are that 50% of every marriage ends in divorce now, so you probably end up getting a lot of shit as well. They'd be like, oh, you're meant to be lucky, but...
Maybe that's because they didn't have the chimney sweep.
He's turned it round and thrown it back in your face.
I'm getting married in May, so don't curse me with that. 50%. Sammy will last longer. But that's, anyway, going back on the story why chimney sweeps are good luck.
Because they grab horses.
Because they save King George II.
Yeah.
But in the film Mary Poppins, in the song, I'm not a singer, so I'm not going to sing it, but there's a verse that goes...
How does it go?
We'll join him.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim chiroo. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim chiroo. Good luck will rub off if I shake hands with you.
Ooh.
Or blow me a kiss, and that's lucky too. So this is a true story.
Yeah.
A few of the older women, sometimes when I'm walking and they see the badge, I do get a kiss sent my way. But that's not cheating, Sammy. I'm on the other side of the road. And then quite often when I finish a job, people like to shake my hand.
Yeah.
I always ask them if they're getting a lottery ticket because I am fancying a new truck. They win.
Joe, it feels like we've got about 18 steps we want to reverse back over here. Cause...
There's a lot of history behind sweet chimney sweep, see? And in some countries, there's really strange things. Like, I think in Europe, it's lucky to touch a chimney sweep's button.
His button?
Zip nowadays. But yeah, if you touch a button of a chimney sweep's good luck.
So just random people can come up to you and touch your zip?
I know, you sort of get harassed, really, when you look at it like that. But
well, you've got old women blowing kisses at you, and it's not cheating.
Not cheating.
And people are coming up touching your zip. What if your zip's, you know, the only zip you got is your flies?
That'd be a hard one to explain, Sammy.
Well, it would be. Mm.
Also, if you're a chimney sweep and you were to put your hands anywhere on someone else, it'll be very obvious where your hands have been, I imagine. Mm.
I mean, in modern day, believe it or not, chimney sweeping, I mean, it's mainly log burners nowadays. It's actually a very clean job. I'm probably not painting the picture, but it's sort of, I don't come out of jobs covered in soot. We obviously wear PPE nowadays, which is really important. So it's not, if it's done right, it's not a dirty job. You know, I'm sort of in my uniform, as you can see, and I sort of go home looking like this.
You look immaculate.
Thank you very much.
You are very well turned. I mean, it's a black uniform.
I mean, it's a good colour because...
What's JN for?
That's my initials, Josh Naish.
Oh, Josh Naish.
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 Nash with an I.
Naish.
Naish.
He's literally just said it.
Naish.
Naish.
No, you sound Australian now.
Naish. Josh Naish.
Naish, yeah.
Naish. All right, Josh?
There's a lot of shh, isn't there?
Naish. Josh Naish.
Yeah.
Josh is such a nice person.
You won't want to live.
Sorry. JN Chimney.
JN Chimney, yeah. I started it in lockdown, actually, so when the world was all doom and gloom, I thought I'd try and get something good out of it. And I decided to become a chimney sweep.
Have you ever been in a chimney? Like, do you actually go in?
A big one, yeah, like an ingle nook. Like when you...
What's an ingle nook?
Probably the fires that you'd see in pubs, you like the big...
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They normally got a tiny basket with a big opening.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, obviously you can go in and you can sort of get... You actually can get sheeted into the chimney. Obviously, you've got all the PP and the stuff and you can sweep it from inside. I tend not to carry them sort of jobs out. Too much hassle.
That's why you need to put the wedding service on it to make up for those jobs that you're not doing to do that one. I couldn't think of anything worse than going up a fucking chimney.
I think, Joe, we need to get a sense of how this works. So let's say, have you got a log burner at home, Joe?
I've got a fireplace in Jasper's room, but there's no fire under it.
Sort of disused.
Disused.
Boarded up or still a functional chimney?
Well, no, shit still comes down it. But it just goes onto the carpet
Get the sweep in.
Get the sweep in?
Get the sweep in,
yeah. But then you'll just pull all the shit out.
Exactly, and then no more stuff will drop down.
We've had a bird get stuck in there.
Yeah, we get them out.
We presume it was flapping for a couple of days. Oh. I didn't know how to deal with that. And then it just stopped flapping, so it still might be there. But then, oh, fuck, maybe that's the smell.
Oh.
We get the occasional waft. Mm. Do you think a bird's stuck in there?
Yeah, I mean, birds, jackdaws mainly, do nest in chimneys. There's ways around that. You can obviously remove the nest, but there's actually, if it's a jackdaw, they are protected. So there's certain months in the year you're not allowed to touch them. But
if they're in my chimney?
Yeah, you have to allow them to nest. But
they've got to fucking pay rent.
I think, off memory, from March till February, you're not allowed to disturb a jackdaw's nest.
Hang on, that's the whole year.
No, sorry. From March to September.
Yeah.
Is when you're not allowed to disturb them.
But that's all right, because those are summer months, so you'd be less likely to be utilising open fire.
Yeah. But what you should do, Joe, is get the chimney sweep in to remove the nest, and what they can do is put a bird guard on the top of the chimney pot, and that will stop that.
As in outside?
Yeah, so they'd actually go onto the pot and clip on a bird guard for you to stop birds nesting in the future.
Okay, right. So we've got that one that's disused. Well, it is, because we don't light it. Then in the lounge, we've got a log burner.
Wood burning stove. Look.
Yeah, but it's got it's blocked the chimney.
Do you use it? I mean, what with log burners, what they tend to do is drop a liner down, a flexible liner down the chimney and join it to the wood burning stove. But it shouldn't be blocked if it's...
No, I mean, like, it's blocked out. So it's like, you've got the wood burner.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and the pipe
then
goes
there's a pipe,
goes
and then
a
around
plate.
It is all, like, blocked. And then I presume the pipe just goes
Yeah,
up.
No, definitely.
And then we've got a wood burner in the kitchen, but we don't use any of it. The house is always so fucking cold.
But that seems an easy solution there.
Yeah, we don't use it because we... Daisy gets scared about... Because we haven't had the chimney sweep round.
You're too... You're probably out of my zone.
Radius. We don't... I don't know. I guess that's the solution, is it?
It is.
How often would I have to have that swept?
Once a year, really.
Right. Is that like a legal requirement?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they can't make you, but quite often now, home and house insurance, if you have got a solid fuel or wood-burning stove in your house, they want, like, proof of maintenance. So getting the chimney sweep in once a year to sweep the chimney, yeah, is a must, really. And all trained professional chimney sweeps will issue a certificate of sweeping, which you just keep with your normal documents. And if ever you had to go through insurance through the fire or the flu, you've got up-to-date paperwork and the insurance companies will pay out. Often, if you haven't got much records at all, like most insurance companies, they don't like putting around in their pocket, so you... So that 60, 70 quid to get the sweep in has just turned expensive if you're rebuilding the side of your house, Joe. So it Brilliant. Might be worth getting the sweep in.
Okay, right, I'll get a sweep in.
Get the sweep in, Joe. And Josh, if Joe does that, how would the process work? Let's say we're starting, which room do you want to start in, Joe? Do you want to start with one of the log burners or...?
We'll do Jasper's one, disused chimney, but it's got shit coming down.
So if the chimney's disused, technically you obviously... don't have to have it swept, but quite often we get phone calls to sweep disused chimneys for that reason. Deposits falling down, can't be, you know, hoovering it every morning.
So would you ever recommend, sorry to interrupt, mate, would you ever recommend this this thing that I saw on Dragon's Den once, where it's like a chimney umbrella type thing? You put it in and then you blow it up and it just stuffs it to stop shit coming down?
So that's like a draft excluder. They have got a good one out called Chimney Sheep.
Chimney Sheep?
Yeah, Ooh. Chimney Sheep.
In fact, I like what they've done there, yeah.
In picture fact, it immediately.
Yeah. In fact, your friend Flats is looking at buying one soon.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And that acts as a draft excluder. That will stop stuff falling down, but eventually... over time, more and more stuff will fall on top and it can force it to fall out and then you have a big mess. But by getting the chimney swept, cleaned, and then blocking it off would be your best bet for your son's room.
Yeah, it's his room, yeah.
Yeah.
And we actually, is that part of why the house is cold?
Yeah, because...
Would I lose heat through that?
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, if you're not using... If it's an open fire, an old open fire, a lot of the... You know, it's a massive draft that goes up that chimney, so it could get very cold in his room. So by blocking it off with that Dragon Den's idea... or a chimney sheep would be your best option.
Right, okay. So let's say we've done that one, you've sorted that out, but I now want you to come in and do the wood burner.
Yeah.
I want it cleaned. I want it ready to fire up the next couple of months because it's still a little bit nippy out there. How does that work?
So obviously, we'd sheet up the front room, not all the furniture because, you know, a good chimney sweep wouldn't have to do that. And then
just raised your hand on a podcast. That's good, yeah.
And that's for the YouTube channel. And then we'd strip the stove. It's like a puzzle. It's probably... Some stoves can be dead simple, some stoves can be really complicated. So we'd strip the stove to allow the baffle plate to drop out, and then that would give us access to the flue from inside. So the flue is where the smoke goes up. So that would be from the log burner all the way to the top of your house with the chimney pot.
Chimney
flue. We call it a flue, but on your log burner, you'd most probably have a liner, a flexible liner,
right,
which is the flue.
Okay.
And then we would, obviously, I tend to issue two or three rods, seal off the log burner, attach the hoover, push the rods to the top and sweep down. And then you get a big deposit of soot left in your stove at the end of it, hoover it all up, and then I'm on to the next. If I've had a cup of tea by then, would I have had a cup of tea by then?
I would have offered you a cup of tea.
On arrival.
Or a coffee. I'd have made you... Do you drink coffee?
Between 9 and 12, and then I tend to get off it after 12, get a bit shakier voice.
Squires.
Josh, I fucking love you. I fucking love
it. Tend to get a little bit shaky.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you'd have had a cup of tea then. Talk us through these rods. Like you said about a nylon. Originally, it used to be bamboo rods, was it?
So, back in the early days when rods first come about, they would have been made from wood. Bamboo was quite a good material, well, obviously a good material today, but now as times have developed, we tend to use nylon rods, and obviously they come in different, like flexibility and stiffness.
It's a preemptive snigger from Josh there, waiting for Joe to dive in.
His own word.
And so obviously on the liners and the stove that you have at your home, you'd use a flexible one so it doesn't put too much pressure on the liner. If you use a really rigid, stiff one, it would pop it out sometimes. Like you could put too much force onto the line and it could pop it out of place. But, you know, that we have... I mean, I've probably got 4 or 5 different sets of rods, all different flexibilities, and I've probably got about 40 different heads that go onto them. So
what do these heads look like?
Obviously, you've got the traditional sort of brush-type mould brush heads that we use a lot.
Mould?
Mould brush heads, they're called.
Mould? They look like a mould?
No.
They're made of mould?
You'd have to ask the brush manufacturer on that case, Joe. I'm just a sweep. but my favourite ones for liners is I don't even know the real name for them, but I call them a whip head.
A whip head?
I call them a whip head. They're like a nylon, again, it's almost like a brush, but it's like, you know, like a strimmer, bottom of a strimmer cord?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what spins. Because I rotary sweep, so I have a drill at the bottom of them, and the drill's doing the spinning. I don't do it by hand.
What do you mean the drill's doing this? Spinning?
So it used to be the old way, the old arts. I mean, you can still sweep like that. I mean, I do on some chimneys, but there's two types of sweeping.
Yeah.
You've got manual and rotary.
Yeah.
And a few others, but they're not very good. But manual...
there's more than two types of sweeping.
Yeah, but we won't go off topic. But manual and rotary is the best. Manual is obviously doing it with your own arms,
yeah.
So you get a bit of a workout, which I don't do often. And then rotary is where you have a drill attachment. On each rod, you have a drill attachment, and the drill is what's spinning the brush. So you can imagine the brush head would be turning at a greater pace with a drill than it would doing it by hand.
So a bit like going for a car wash, where you see that big, flappy... Yeah.
And I tend to do 5 or 6 passes, unclip, and then clip my drill onto the next rod, and you work your way down, see? So a standard house would probably be 10 rods high, but where I'm from in Bath, some of the properties can be sort of between 22 and 30 rods high, and a rod's a meter, mind.
Right.
Josh, I would like to know the most unusual things you've found up chimneys.
Well, you better have it, because on your application it says, you won't believe the things I found up chimneys.
I found lots of things at chimneys.
Okay, yeah.
Probably the most awkward thing I found up a chimney, a letters of affair. I'm not going to say where or names or nothing like that. Client confidentiality there.
Do you have to like do a Hippocratic Oath or as a chimney sweep? It's like to the Dick Van Dyke Oath or?
No, there's no oaths in chimney sweeping.
It's just professional respect.
Just professional respect. Yeah. So I arrived to this property somewhere near Bath. As I arrive, I knocked the door, and this older man opened and said, "You must be the chimney sweep." And I looked at my badge and said, "Correct."
I love this detail to the story.
And he said, "Right, there's 3 chimneys in the house that need sweeping. We've got a log burner in the front room. We've got an open fire in the dining room. And then we've got a disused chimney in the office upstairs." Mm. Quite a big, nice, posh house. He said, "Which one do you want to do first?" So I was like, well, being wise, I'll work my way to my van. So I started at the furthest, which was the office, and worked towards it. And as I was sheeting up, the gentleman of the house come in and said, "Well, I've just got to shoot out now, but my partner will be back soon." And as I'm looking... As I'm looking up the chimney, I see a bag for life. Tesco's bag for life, you know, the sturdier ones. Uh-huh. And I just managed to reach and pull it. But in pulling it, I ripped a corner of the bag for life and out spilled these letters from another gentleman. Well, not so much gentleman, because what was on them was pretty detailed. even I was started and blush.
Not so much gentleman. He was filth.
He was filth.
What was the filthiest thing in the letters?
I don't know. Can it be said on...
Go for it.
It was very detailed were very fond of each other and maybe had, you know, done certain things in the past which he wanted to repeat.
The bastard.
But as that happens, the wife walks in. And just to clarify, this is my third day on the job as a qualified chimney sweep.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So I didn't know if I was going to be a chimney sweep or a counsellor for the next hour. but I played really dumb, tied the bag up, put it to one side. As she come in, she was obviously very embarrassed.
So hang on, they were her letters from
They were addressed to her, but from another fella.
So not from her husband?
No. So that's why she was hiding them up the chimney.
Right.
Yeah, she would have left them on the front, the dining room table. And yep. And she come in, red as a beetroot. She went, shit, you found them. And I obviously act dumb and said, I found this bag up the chimney. And I don't know why I said, but it might be old newspapers, but it was in a bag for life, which was probably brought out that year. So it was quite clear it wasn't old newspapers.
But you could store old newspapers in a new bag for life.
But it'd be pretty weird to shove them up a chimney, wouldn't it?
Correct.
I mean if you had that as a hobby, putting old newspapers in a bag and shoving them up chimneys.
Yeah.
Hey, point taken. Each to their own.
Exactly. And anyway, so she took the bag and walked out the room and I heard her pacing around and she come in and she looked pretty frightened actually and was like, you know what they are. And I said, look, I'm here to sweep the chimney. And so I finished my job as a professional, went on me jolly way. But as I was leaving, at some point she must have went into my toolkit, took my little torch, thieving bastard, and she said, Josh, you forgot something. She come running over to me and give me my torch, but wrapped round it was a 20 quid note.
So just 20 quid?
I know. At the time, I was starting off, so it was quite a lot of money. You know, it got me McChicken sandwich on the way home.
I love the fact that there's so much to go at each other. I love the fact that she's just gone, I could give him 20, I'd give him 50. The marriage is worth 20.
Mind you, I did get endless cups of tea and Jaffa cakes once she realised.
Yeah, that. What, only on the job? Or like forever?
No, only on the job.
That'd be nice, you keep dropping around.
But
but then he becomes the gentleman who's not so gentlemanly.
And then suddenly you're sending her letters to put in the bag for life.
Actually, funny enough, I did drive past the house. This was two or three years ago when that happened. I did drive past the house last year and it was for sale. So maybe she has ran off with this other gentleman. Well, not gentleman, this other knob, innit?
Was there any reference in the letters? Because I know you don't want to tell us what was in the letters. That's fine. That is confidentiality. Was there any reference to him putting things in her chimney?
Yes, her personal chimney. And other objects on maybe the body. Chimney.
Was there?
Yeah, it was pretty... Yeah, it was a bit like, is it 50 Shades of Grey? I didn't know. I was reading that or a love letter. It was pretty detailed.
Did you at any moment reading through it find yourself getting slightly aroused by it?
No.
I'm impressed that he actually took the time to write a letter. I mean, you've described him as not as a gentleman. I understand that, Josh. It could have been an email or a text message.
Exactly.
But it's old school.
Exactly. And they were, I would say, between 65 and 75 years old age. So he's probably keeping it, you know. And it was almost on like a postcard type.
A saucy postcard.
Yeah.
No pictures with it?
No pictures. Just writing, but it was...
Diagrams?
No, it was just, it's literally what he wanted, like how much he missed her. And so they obviously must have met, that's the thing. I know he was from Portugal, that's all I'm saying.
Was that because he referenced Portugal in the letter?
Hang
on, how do you know that he's from Portugal? Maybe
he lived in Portugal.
No, he had a very Portuguese type name. and he was referencing in one of the letter, in like part of the letter, about something they'd done in a place in Portugal.
What I'd like to explore a little bit more, Josh, is I'd like to think that if I'd found them, if I was on the job, I'd found them, had a little look, and just gone, oh, they're just a bit, whatever, a load of letters or whatever it was, and I just put them on the side. What went through your brain to go, oh, fuck, I'm going to read all of these in such detail to find out he's got a Portuguese name?
So as I ripped the Tesco's bag for life and one fell out, I just wondered what it was, and I only read a paragraph. I once sat there, you know, with my glasses on, reading through them. And there was about half a dozen, mind you. I only read half a page of one.
Yeah.
Scarred me for life.
What exactly did this Portuguese resident say?
Oh,
he's all sorts. You can see him getting all worked up.
Was it the first time you'd seen the act or heard of the act that he was mentioning? Was
No. No. I'm 30 years old. Right. But other things found in chimneys. I know I have been chatting to fellow chimney sweeps.
Oh.
Yesterday.
Hang on. Is there like a chimney sweep association?
We're a big community. Well, not a very big community because it ain't a very. Not many people are chimney sweeps, are they?
Close knit.
But yeah, I know we look after one another, you know what I mean? I actually found some stuff found in chimneys off the community group chat we got. And yes, yeah, so people have found Edwardian shoes, because apparently, this is another historic fact about chimneys and all that, people used to put shoes in chimneys to ward off evil spirits back in the Edwardian
time. I wonder why.
Single shoe or a pair?
I think it had to be a lady's shoe, and it was for witches, apparently. It stopped witches getting down chimneys.
Well, did they think that witches, they're all fucking crazy because they didn't have any shoes? So they thought, oh, we'll put a pair of shoes up there.
Sweetener.
Yeah, and be like, oh, there you go, you can calm down a bit, no more spells.
It's, I mean, like you said, you find all sorts. Someone found a sawn-off shotgun, money,
actually,
jewellery.
Actually, that makes sense. You would hide a shotgun up there.
On some old chimneys, there's like a as you sort of put, not that many people put their hands up chimneys, but chimney sweeps do, there's a ledge on some open fires, and people used to hide stuff there, valuable stuff as well, money, jewellery, shotguns in this case. So yeah, you can find all sorts, but mainly nowadays the only thing we really find in chimneys are soot, birds' nests, and sometimes you know, if you get like rogue builders in, if they can't be bothered to take the materials down, they'll sometimes chuck it down the chimney. And in a few cases, I've had to go in and get all the normally roofers.
So you get bits of felt tiles.
Yeah, felt tiles, stuff like that.
Is there Joe very kindly for my birthday back in December, Josh got me a robot vacuum cleaner, which I then lost on the train, eventually got back. It's a long story. Is there not a market for the robot chimney sweep?
Absolutely not.
No?
Why don't I want to have a job?
Absolutely not.
Then otherwise, if there's a robot chimney sweep, I'll be out of a job, so I'm going to say no for that. I think, you can use robots for lots of other things, but sweeping chimneys, I can't see it. Because we don't just sweep chimneys, we do look for like defects in the appliance, you know, safety, you know, especially like things that aren't safe are safe. So, you know, it isn't just a case of a chimney sweep wouldn't just go and sweep a chimney. They try and find things that aren't right. They do lots of different tests, smoke evacuation checks, which I can't see a robot doing.
No.
Although you do get...
We get smoke alarms.
Smoke alarms, which is little that baby is robots. Robot.
Yeah. I mean, but you still have to have a person to put the batteries in.
And also fix it to the ceiling.
Exactly. But mainly...
But hang on then. If we get a robot that you then argue you still need a person to put the batteries in this robot to put in the chimney, I'm then having to pay... Surely your service is less because all you're doing is putting batteries in. And then actually I could just do the batteries.
But you'd have to find... So you're on about a robot sweeping the chimney. So the robot would have to wake up in the morning, get in his van, drive to your house, get his rods out, walk to your appliance, sheet up, get your cup of tea or coffee, which you're going to offer on arrival, like you said, maybe a Jaffa cake, but how's a robot doing that?
No. I don't mean like... I don't mean like an AI robot
perform
person.
Every task.
Oh, you mean like someone designed? Wow. I thought you were on about this AI with all this AI.
I meant just like the round, you know, the mowers, automatic mowers. You get that you just put on your lawn and it goes in. Can't you just get an automatic chimney sweep?
I'm not clever enough to design one, so I'll stick with me rods and brushes.
I fucking love that. You just described the whole job as a chimney sweep, but if a robot did it, why are they going to do that? Because they're a fucking robot that you've asked to do it.
I'm with you now. I wish you made that more clear at the start. I was thinking more AI with all this AI going on at the minute.
Yeah.
It's like the idea that a robot in a factory that does some sort of manufacturing in a car would have to wake up also in the morning get dressed.
It would be a robot to aid.
Get to work.
A robot aid.
To aid my work.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Say someone has invented that, and say I've invented it, and I've gone, Josh, I've got this little robot sweep for you.
Mm.
I want to sell it to you. Would you use that as one of your tools, or would you stick to the old craftsmanship of rodding?
I mean, I would stick to the traditional, like the more craftsman way. I think as well, you get more of a service. You know, if I'm just sat there watching a robot go up and down the chimney, what are you paying me for? Where if I'm there putting a shift in, you know what I mean? Having me cup of tea and Jaffa cakes, you'll think like, yeah, he's earned his money there.
So I'm getting the impression like Jaffa cakes are your go-to here.
I just get a lot of customers have Jaffa cakes, but you either love Jaffa cakes so maybe they don't like the Jaffa cakes, and that's
why
I get
getting rid of them on you.
But you don't mind because you love Jaffa cakes.
I don't mind a Jaffa cake.
Right, what would be your biscuit of choice then?
I don't think you can beat a shortbread.
You like a shortbread?
I quite like a shortbread.
A shortbread finger or a round one?
Any shortbread, they all taste the same, don't they? But yeah, you know, like you know, especially near Christmas time, everyone has shortbread. I think people like if, sort of your mate will buy them shortbread. So I get a lot of shortbread Christmas time, and you know the ones with like the. You know, the nice deer on the front of the...
Like a sort of tartan pattern tin.
Yeah, like this with the stag on the front, not there.
Magnificent.
Did we just become BFFs?
I
fucking love shortbread.
And you get all the different styles, circle ones, square ones. But then I think, how many biscuits is acceptable to take? Because you can't just walk off with the tin, can you?
So if they've left an open tin in front of you...
They do, so they'll go help yourself.
Yeah.
I tend to take two, but I think sometimes I could get away with three.
Get away with three.
If they've said help yourself, you can have the lot.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
You can have everything in my basket.
I think you need to try it.
What, nick a tin of shortbread?
You're not nicking it. They're giving it you.
But some people, you know, when people sort of say stuff like, you know, if you had friends over and you say, make yourself at home, you wouldn't want them doing everything you do in your room, would you?
No, you don't literally mean make this your home. You mean temporarily
relax. Yeah, but when they say help yourself, I always find it's a big decision on how many biscuits to take.
Does it depend on how many biscuits remain in the tin? So if you've got a full tin of shortbreads, they've left it there, they've even put the lid underneath the box itself to make it quite clear the lid doesn't need to go back on. Does that legitimise taking maybe five or six biscuits because you've left a lot for them? Whereas if there was five or six shortbreads left and you took four, you've left them one.
I think it's polite, isn't it? It's sort of saying, I'm not taking the piss here.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll give you a little dish with like two on, and you think... You know, if it's rich tea, I leave them. No point dunking them in.
It's fucking awful. The fear I get when I dunk a rich tea, but sometimes I do it just for that fear.
We'll see how long you can hold it.
Yeah. And then it ruins the tea.
Would you carry on with the tea? Would you fish out the rich tea with a teaspoon or just
set
the tea off?
I don't drink the tea anyway. I only make a tea to dunk.
Really?
Yeah, I don't drink tea. It's fucking shit. Is it as hard a decision for you to make on how many biscuits to take than it is whether you take a shit in the customer's house or not?
I've never, ever, ever used a customer's toilet.
No?
Never. Actually, no, that's a lie. If the customer's my friend or relative and I'm desperate, yeah. I sometimes feel awkward asking, can I go to the toilet in a customer's house? Because you're not... Sometimes sweeps can take you a little while, but you don't tend to be in there for more than an hour. So sweep a log burner, you know, some log burners I could be in and out in a half hour.
I think that approach actually legitimises you taking more biscuits.
Yeah, because of the fact that you've come in and I've said you can make yourself at home.
Yeah.
And you've only taken three of my favourite shortbreads because I've said help yourself.
Mm.
and then you've refused to take a shit in my house out of politeness, you've actually gone, actually, I'll hold it because there's an Esso up the road, I'll just take a dump in that, then you should then take at least five of my favourite shortbread. And you should move forward with that sort of approach that go, hang on a minute, I'm not shitting in your house, so I'm going to take an extra biscuit or two.
Well,
spell it out in those exact terms, Josh, if you were confronted about your shortbread consumption.
Next time I get offered shortbread, I'll keep that well in mind.
Because if someone...
And I'll go... And if they said, why have you taken five, you're greedy, I'll say, Joe Marler told me to take it up with him.
No, that's not what we've agreed to.
He's bigger than me.
No, we've agreed that you just go, oi, I've taken five because I'm not taking a shit in your toilet.
But you don't always
But I'll put two back and then take a shit. I know you don't need to take a shit, but you could probably force
it. It's leverage, isn't it?
I don't know what to say, really, but...
Oi, it's food for thought.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Now, talking to customers...
Go on.
About, you know, we've discussed the biscuit and the tea and stuff like that. What have there been any sort of weird folk that you've come across, or what are your usual characters you come across?
So 90% of my customers are brilliant, you know, lovely, fantastic people. And it's always a case of just sort of picking up where we left off the year before. And, you know, they ask how things are going, and it's brilliant. Yeah, you do get some, you know, like you do obviously come across some strange people. Rude people, which I can't stand.
How do you cope with the rude ones?
Add on 20 quid.
Oh.
Not all the time. No, but I just...
Not all the time.
I just, with the rude ones, I just sort of get in and out. Don't really have a chinwag. Because sometimes a chinwag can be longer than the sweep, especially if they've, you know... A lot of my customers maybe be, you know, slightly of older age, and I might be the first person they've seen for a few days. So, you know, if they want to chat, you know, and all that, I'm happy to stay on for an extra 10 minutes. I don't charge for that.
That's dope.
The worst thing with the older customers is the gone-off milk in the tea.
Oh.
You're not one to tell them either, are you?
No, but what I do tend to do is say, I just need to pop outside and have a look at the chimney pot, and it goes into the edge.
Love it.
You know what I mean? One lovely old lady thought I was thirsty, and I just put the empty cup behind me. She goes, God, you must have drank that quick. Made another.
Oh.
And she was watching then, so I had to drink it. Like a Bush Tucker troll. I'm a celeb.
Did it have creamy bits bobbing around on the top?
Yeah, you know, like the... Yeah, it's sort of like the... Yeah, floaters, really. Like,
yeah, creamy floaters.
But do you know when it hits the nose before the taste buds see, and that is... Yeah, not nice.
You could have held your nose. Mind you, she knows then, doesn't she?
I just pretended it was a pint of Guinness and threw it back.
Banged it.
Yeah. That's what you got to do, son, to pretend you're on the chair...
Yeah.
Like
a hot Guinness.
Just see it off, yeah. But I mean, I did let it cool down because you can't drink hot drinks fast, can you? and then she's got an asbestos smell.
What about any hoarders?
Oh,
ever come across
teddy bears? I went to it was quite weird because...
Teddy bears?
Oh, I kid you not. I went into a job near Bath. And
they're all near Bath because that's where you work.
And yeah, but that could be anywhere. You know what I mean?
Within a radius of Bath.
It's where you think near. Like some focal peep might think Melksham's local, but actually it's quite a drive by car. 30 and
I fucking don't know anymore. Go on.
And I got to this job and I opened the door. Smoke-stained ceilings, not that I'm judging.
And that doesn't sound like it.
Every single stair had a teddy bear on it. And I thought, well...
Hang on, like a normal set of stairs or just stairs?
No, like normal flight of stairs going to the upstairs of the house. Some had even had two or three on each stair. I thought, maybe they got children in the family in the stairs. And he's, you know, but then when I go into the front room, over 100... Just everywhere, and old ones, new ones, minions were about, and and it's the only job I swept left-handed because I wanted to see where he, you know, because I thought
because their glassy eyes were staring at. So hang on, you swept left-handed, it's, just, right-hand
it's,
free.
It's just quite eerie because when I was in this place, I didn't see no sign of like children or nothing. It was a strange one, Joe.
So just to clarify, you swept left-handed, so your right hand, your dominant hand, was free to if any of those bears came at you.
No, I just wanted to see what was going on, where the particular person was in the house and stuff.
What difference does it make what hand you're using to see stuff?
So I wanted... He had them serial killer sort of glasses, you know, with like a slight tint of yellow. I was waiting for someone to say, help, help. And I, you know, I maybe had... And
he had those serial killer,
you know,
but,
like,
it's
the
a generalization,
you know, like,
but
like,
yeah,
the Jeffrey Dahmer.
Type. Okay, yeah.
And you know, like when they have like the little vision
bifocals.
Yeah, yeah. No, correct terminology. And I just wanted to know where this particular person was, because he gave me a very eerie feeling. So by sweeping left-handed, to answer your question, like the wall was behind me and I was looking so I could always know, because I thought maybe them teddy bears represented something or something.
But surely if you sweep right-handed, my back there's still a wall behind
no,
you.
No, no, so it was a log burner, Joe. So if I swept right-handed, I'd been looking at the radiator.
Yeah,
and the seats and the kitchen and all that was behind me.
Right.
But if I sweep left-handed, my body's shifted, hasn't it?
Was that like instead of an hour jobby, that was like a 10-minute jobby?
That was my PB.
Oh.
Was it?
Yeah.
Duration?
15.
In and out in 15?
I think we're done with our questions, but we've loved you so much, we could just sit here for hours and listen to you. Have you got anything more that you want to divulge?
I mean, just to the viewers listening, I would, if you have got a log burner and you have got a fireplace, obviously you don't have to get me in, but it is very important to get a registered chimney sweep in to check your appliance once a year.
And Josh, if people want to find, they want you specifically to help with their flues, maybe they are near to Bath, it could be Molsham, it could be Chipnam, Joe.
Well, only near to Bath.
Well, I cover Bath, Bristol and surrounding areas.
Oh.
Would you do Stroud?
If I had a book, see, what I do is I try and book them in. So,
if I had
five in Stroud to do, I would go to Stroud, but maybe one might be a bit on the far side.
What about Heathfield?
Where's that?
East Sussex.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
Harlequin tickets evolved, or?
Oh.
Yes.
I will come and sweep yours. If me and Rory...
Who's Rory? My colleague.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on, I thought you said you didn't have chimney boys anymore.
He ain't a boy, Joe. He's 6 foot. He helps me carry the kit.
Oh, right, you're the chimney boy in the relationship.
I'm smaller than Rory, yes, but right. I wouldn't say I'm the chimney boy. I'm the expert.
Master sweep.
I am the master sweep. And Rory would agree with that. But yeah, a couple of Harlequin's tickets, I'll be there.
All right, we'll see what we can do. Josh, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's been madness.
It has. In the best possible way.
I've never gone from flues to some of the stuff we've chatted about.
No, nor have we.
But I do feel really, like, good.
Madness.
I can't believe this is like a job, isn't it for you two as well?
It's a job.
You know, I thought chimney sweeping was good. Where's the seat? Where can I apply? I'll give them up. Just have a laugh. I expect you go for a nice lunch as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we do, yeah.
Is that included?
Josh, can you come on tour with us when we go on tour?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah?
Yeah, get me in.
Fuck off. I love you.
Thank you.
You've been unbelievable.
Thank you.
Josh Niche.
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 Josh Niche Chimney Sweep.
JN Chimney Sweep.
JN Chimney Sweep. Legend. Thank you, mate.
For all your chimney needs.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheroo. Josh was a legend. I think you think that too.
Chim chimney, chim chimney. Yes, I do. Chim chimney.
What about you do chim chimney, chim chim chimmery, and then rhyme the E with agree?
Right. Do you just want to do the song yourself?
Can do.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheree tree. Yes, Thomas.
You're going to fill that gap.
How's it go? Give it again.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheree.
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheree tree. Yes, Thomas, I agree.
You sure that you needed more words in there?
Oh, just yes, chimney, chim chimney, chim chim chimney. Yes, you're Thomas, you're right, and I agree.
Too many words.
Yes.
Legend, though? Legend?
He's straight in at my top five.
Mm. Top three for me. Who am I ditching to get in the top three?
So you've got to have a think about that.
Yeah, I'll row back from that. Top five for now. I'll clarify later in the...
He was wonderful. He reminded me a little bit of Terry, the groundskeeper we had on.
Lovely Terry.
Very happy, very smiley.
Natural smile.
I could literally have sat here for hours listening to all the random shit he'd go on about.
I would have been quite happy, Joe, if we'd sacked off all the other things we have planned for today and just gone and had a couple of cheeky beers. with Josh.
I loved him. Great knowledge on chimney stuff. Came with a load of different facts from, but it was just his energy. And I genuinely think he, is it too bold a statement to say like he epitomises the sort of characters we're looking for on this show?
I like that boldness.
Do you?
Yeah.
Too not. Is it too bold?
Not for me. It's the
Can I add some italic?
If you want to, but I think the bold does a job.
And what about underline?
Underline before italic.
Oh.
Because you're literally underlining the point, aren't you?
It's a bold, underlined Josh. Fucking fantastic.
And if I'm honest, all credit to you here, Joe, because he repeatedly used the word pole. He talked about a bendy shaft. And there was very... I could tell it was going on inside, but on the outside, you gave almost nothing away, so...
Is that progress or is that regress? Like, does that mean I'm off? Does it mean I'm off it?
Does it mean you're being less yourself?
Yeah. What's
have you been tamed?
I don't know.
What's happened to the old Joe Marler?
So you want me to laugh at Shaft more?
I think I do. Is that all right? At least the titter at... Excuse me.
A what?
We're back.
Just say...
We're back.
Just say Shaft for me.
Shaft.
Yeah. Mm. Do it again.
Bendy pole.
Oh. I think it's gone. I think it's dead.
No.
Yeah.
What's it been replaced by?
Fuck puddle.
The choice of that word would suggest that it's not gone.
Okay.
Joe, a reminder that people can come and watch us doing things people did at the Clapham Grand next week. That's correct. It's the 19th of March. Big name guests guaranteed as always, Joe. This time we have Doc Brown and... Jamie Hutchinson.
Is it on a Tuesday?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, I can make it.
That's a relief. It is next week, so if you couldn't make it...
Well, no, I'll be there. And if you want to be there as well, with me and Tom and Doc Brown and Jamie Hutchinson, just for a barrel of laughs and...
Two barrels of laughs.
Two barrels and a smoking laugh. We can do that together, all for the price of £15.05.
So cheap.
So cheap. Click in the episode description and you can buy your own, because what the fuck else are you going to do?
Okay, unnecessarily aggressive.
Sorry!
Finish to a nice sell. We'll see you there, or we'll see you next time.
Okay, then.